I'm Kim Cartwright. UK lawmakers have supported a proposal designed to force the British Prime Minister to request a three-month Brexit extension from the European Union. The amendment prevents Boris Johnson's deal from being approved until Parliament agrees to all withdrawal legislation. Former British Prime Minister Theresa May had been hoping to see the agreement signed off on today.
If you want to deliver a Brexit, if you want to keep faith with the British people, if you want this country to move forward, then vote for the deal.
UK lawmakers agreed to delay the approval of the deal until Parliament passes legislation needed to enact it. The amendment passed 322 votes to 306. The Labor leader has written to the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, calling for the two parties to come together and deal with the crippling drought. The Herald reports Anthony Albanese is formally requesting an emergency joint cabinet arrangement, which was used during World War II. Seven people are being questioned after several police officers were injured in a brawl in Sydney's inner suburbs. Detectives had been responding to a disturbance at a hotel in Potts Point when one suffered an arm injury and four others suspected head injuries. Paramedics treated others at the scene for the effects of capsicum spray. An urgent recall has been issued for a number of frozen meals due to a link to salmonella. Consumers are being urged to dispose of any Core Power Foods frozen meals, 310 or 350 grams, Going Nuts, Deep South Chili, Muay Thai Meatballs, Holy Meatballs, Naked Chicken, Seismic Chicken, Old School and Smoky Mountain Meatballs. The products have a best before date range from the 26th of August to the 4th of October 2020 inclusive. Products are sold nationally at Coles and IGAs and other independent retailers in a number of states. New South Wales Health's Jeremy McNulty says it's an unusual salmonella type.
We've had 16 reports of this particular strain, and most of those patients have reported eating the frozen meals. Some are in hospital.
The cause of contamination is still being investigated. Melbourne's Docklands film studios are set to get a major boost with two big budget Hollywood films to be shot there in the next year. Sean Bindley has more.
Cook Studios plan to make Docklands its permanent home, starting with children's fantasy films Roger's Apprentice and The Alchemist. Premier Daniel Andrews says his government will fund the construction of the $46 million soundstage at the complex, which he says will ensure Melbourne's filmmaking future.
The infrastructure was holding us back, if you like, that really big soundstage, and there's very few bigger than the one we're going to build. This will be one of the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere, and those 40,000 square feet is exactly what we need to bring these really big projects here and to secure the industry's future.
Sean Bindley, Air News.
Allegations of ceasefire and humanitarian violations are being made by both Kurdish and Turkish fighters as the conflict escalates. The BBC's Barbara Peltasha reports.
Turkey's defence ministry said it was fully abiding by the agreement, but that the Kurdish forces had carried out 14 attacks in the last 36 hours, most of them in the Syrian border town of Ras Al Ain. The Kurds say Turkey is besieging the town and that it continued attacking after the ceasefire began Friday morning. On Saturday, they said they weren't able to evacuate the wounded and civilians despite constant communication with the Americans, and they demanded that the US pressure Turkey to allow them safe passage.
Also in news, the ban on climbing Uluru comes into force later this week, and Queensland health authorities are warning of a measles outbreak. This is Air News. Australia has won the Rugby League Nines World Cup Grand Final, defeating New Zealand 24-10. Player of the tournament, Mitchell Moses, scored three tries, helping the Kangaroos claim the inaugural title. He's told Fox Sports it's great to get the victory at Western Sydney Stadium.
I just love playing there. You know, any crowd that you get here, it feels like it's sold out. And it was a good turnout, and I was happy we got a win.
While earlier the Kiwi Ferns defeated the Gillaroos 17-15 to take the women's crown. In A-League action, Western United and Perth Glory have drawn 1-1. The Central Coast Mariners and Newcastle Jets also shared the spoils in an entertaining 1-1 match. While in the English Premier League, Chelsea has pipped Newcastle 1-0. Everton have defeated West Ham 2-0. In the Women's Big Bash League cricket, the Brisbane Heat have thrashed the Sydney Sixers by 92 runs at North Sydney Oval. Teenager Amelia Kerr recorded 3 wickets in 4 balls, helping lead the defending champions to victory. To NBL, the 36ers have clinched 104-98 win over the Bullets, while the South East Melbourne Phoenix narrowly defeated the Hawks 106-102. Also in sport, Aussie Jack Miller will start in position 6 for this afternoon's MotoGP in Japan, and Australia will play New Zealand today in Netball's Constellation Cup. Australian Independent Radio News.
Under the big crowd, what a star-studded lineup we've got. The runs.
No stopping England now.
And the Wallabies, woeful in Japan.
Feeling very disappointed, obviously. I imagine all Australians would be.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment, and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Oh, controversy. We'll have to manufacture some of that. There's a little bit flying around, but not too much on this Sunday morning. Hope you have a great start to your Sunday morning as well. Raymond, how are you? I'm just checking. Are there two Ray Thomases? I love it, those weeks when you write the paper. They're fantastic.
Good morning, James.
Morning.
Good
to
morning,
you.
Everyone. It's been a busy week, but what a day. Culminated yesterday in the Everest and also at Caulfield Cup in Melbourne.
Probably, was there?
Oh, there was. No, but James, seriously, didn't that demonstrate how Australian racing can effectively showcase its very best to the world on a huge day? I don't think there was a bigger day ever in Australian racing with the two power centres, Sydney and Melbourne, had huge, huge race days.
What will be fascinating will be the turnover figures that come out of those 2 days, because I think they will tell the story. It has been a really interesting week for the racing industry, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm just talking about a lot of things, but mainly the rivalry between Melbourne and Sydney that we thought was all papered over with the fact that there was a slot offered up for the Melbourne Race Club and away you go, and look, they're in full support of the Everest, but apparently not. Is that right, Raymond?
What are you referring to?
And how do you answer this?
What are you referring to?
I'm referring to lots of things that took place during the course of the week.
My article last Monday morning.
Oh, didn't you catch fire there, Ray Thomas?
Well, effectively, take you back. Factually, what I stated was that the Victorians vetoed the Everest being elevated to Group 1, unless the Everest was moved off a race date. So effectively,
it was
being held to ransom. Yeah,
it was a negotiation point that would put you might describe as a strong arm tactic.
Yeah, anyway, that didn't go down too well. But
right.
Bottom line was, it was correct, and subsequently, some Melbourne papers have run a very similar story yesterday morning, be that as it may. But I think the biggest issue, obviously, what was on track was fantastic, but we can't avoid what appeared on the ABC on Thursday night.
Sure.
And it was a shocking look for the race industry at large. But can I say a couple of things about it? Firstly, how long were the ABC holding on to that footage?
Timing.
Yep. And why didn't they pass that footage on to the police? Okay.
Are they obligated to do so?
Well, if there's elements of animal cruelty being and animals being exploited in the way they were at those abattoirs,
surely
there's an onus on those persons to pass that information on to the police.
To stop it effectively.
Correct.
Immediately. Right.
First and right at the start, should I just say, surely there's got to be some standards of practice introduced at abattoirs. Surely there has to be. Secondly, New South Wales was portrayed as being heavily involved with this, when in actual fact, Racing New South Wales instituted a couple of years ago a program whereby no racehorse can be retired, can go to an abattoir in Africa. It must be rehomed. So it's unsold, given away to children at pony clubs, etc. Every racehorse must be rehomed once it's retired. That is not a national law. That should, Racing Australia should somehow ensure that becomes a national law sooner rather than later. And that way, at least there's some control over where racehorses go. But it's like you and I, Jim, if you sell your car, you unsell it, someone might use it as spare parts. You can't control what happens after that. But
no,
surely there's ways of just keeping checks and balances in place.
All right, well, you've dealt with that, Raymond, and we're happy to take calls on that one, 1353 53. But what it didn't overshadow was an incredible day yesterday out there at Royal Randwick.
Where were you, James, by the way? Where were you?
I had a prior engagement at the...
You normally like your day at the races. I didn't get a phone call from you for a ticket, so I thought, what are you doing?
Well, that was part of the issue there, right? we'll brush past very quickly. What I will ask you is this.
Yeah.
Was there a guttural roar from the crowd as the gates sprung open?
Again, and louder than the previous 2 years. It is quite an extraordinary atmosphere going into that those few seconds before the race and then when the gates open and Darren Flindell booms out and the whole crowd booms. It is extraordinary. I know the race lasted a tick over 67 seconds yesterday. All this build up for 67 seconds. A new track record. But it was incredible. Yes, wins the race. And seriously, Jim, I put to Tom Magnier, who's now the controlling part owners of the race, what the colt's worth.
Can I use one word to describe Coolmore's actions there?
Clever.
Astute.
Exactly. Bought into the horse before the Golden Slipper.
Well done.
And I said, is he worth 50 mil? And he went, you're underestimating the horse's value. And that's because he now has that jewel.
That's like saying, what's your house worth?
I know what you're saying.
No, it's worth 7 million.
But they have to put their money where their mouth is. They've got to then advertise and market that horse. And they can do it in both hemispheres.
Yes.
So it's didn't need Group 1 now. That race cuts through the global racing bubble. Everyone knows what the Everest is and a stud can market it. The Caulfield Cup, Murder Glass.
Yes.
Very impressive. Japan might clean sweep the three majors down there. Gee, he was dominant, wasn't he?
Outstanding performance.
But there were some really unlucky runs behind him. Constantinople, keep him in your black book for Flemington. Finch, I thought, was outstanding. Covered more ground than the early explorers. And even old Hartnell, gee, he had no luck, did he, the old bloke?
He's incredible, that horse. So, yes, we'll take your thoughts on the Melbourne Cup. $7.70 winner, Murder Glass. The Japanese stayer gets home there. But, yes. Good to see a battler like Chris Waller get a break too, which is fantastic. Glenn Boss, who has come back, what is it, July that he came back from a four-year stint in Singapore. And I know he'd been back and forward. And we had him on this program a number of times, but... at the ripe old age of 50, he's just come storming back, hasn't he?
He's remarkable. And someone said quite rightly that G-Boss in big races, it happens too often to be a fluke, Jim.
Totally.
He just is an extraordinary rider.
Wallabies 16, England 17 at one point.
Yeah, I was watching that in the press room at the end of the day, and I was thinking, we're back in this ball game. Uh-oh.
Final score, England 40, Wallaby 16. What happens now with Michael Checker is one of the many...
Is that his last game
for Australia? We'll get the response from Michael Checker that he gave to the English reporter who asked the question, what does your future hold now, Michael?
Fair question, I think.
It was a really interesting answer. He's had his heart ripped out, obviously. You go there and you think you can win.
Yeah.
You may not believe you can win, but you go there and you think you can win, and 15 minutes after that you get asked, what are you doing now?
Did you see much of the All Blacks?
I only saw the highlights. Apparently they snuck home against Ireland 46-14. So panel operator Hamish is now a Kiwi, New Zealander this morning. But they have booked their spot into the semi-final against England. That'll be it.
That's massive.
That's a big matchup.
That's massive.
And obviously we've got the semi-finals to come. Wales v France and Japan v South.
The Brave Blossoms couldn't win again,
could they?
Through to the semi-final.
Jamie Joseph heard the quotes from the coach. He said, "We're not even talking about that. We're not even discussing that game 4 years ago."
Were you at the Rugby League World Cup Nines last night?
I was at the Rugby League World Cup Nines. Probably a little disappointing.
Crowd-wise?
The crowd numbers, although someone said they'd sold 17,000 tickets. Now, whether there's people coming and going and particular teams that they want to follow. Australia win. Mitch Moses scores 3 tries. But David Fifita, I know it's an abbreviated form of the game and it's an abridged form of the game, but David Fifita announces himself as a star.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Go home to watch the final. James, should that have been played before the season proper started?
And that's one of the things. So to give you a backstory to it, there was talk about a World Cup of Nines being put together by David Argyle, who's the mining magnate behind the Toronto Wolfpack. Mm-hmm. Then the International Rugby League, as they are now called, went to Singapore. The NRL turned up with a cheque from Destinations New South Wales and said, you know what, we'd like to host that event at our new stadium at Bankwest, at Parramatta Bankwest Stadium, and we'll pay you this amount of money to do so. And they went, oh, that looks lovely. Mm. Thank you, I'll do that. So timing is everything, as they say, Raymond, and they didn't quite have it on this one.
Perhaps it would have worked better going into the opening rounds in NRL, don't you think?
I don't think there's any doubt on that. I don't think there's any doubt. Well done, Sydney Cricket Ground and New South Wales for securing the SCG as the grand final venue for not only 2020 but 2021.
You've got strong thoughts on that, haven't you?
Oh, gee, I thought it was a missed opportunity. Mm. I really did. And I know they've spent a lot of money on stadiums. Mind you, I am still terrified as to what ANZ Stadium's going to look like. The redeveloped, that word terrifies me, Ray. Redeveloped.
As in it won't be rectangular enough for your liking, is that what you're saying?
Not purpose-built for rectangular sports. There will still be people on level 7, miles from the action, who'll be watching it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Miles from the action.
It's a big stadium. What can you do?
You can knock it down and start again. That's what you can do.
That's a lot of money, James. A lot of money for a stadium that's only 20 years old.
I'd argue that it would be, it'd be redundant, strong word, redundant in 5 years' time. Based on, you know, imagine if you had a 72,000-seat stadium. If it was, oh, it's not big enough. Well, you only fill it 3 times.
Origin and grand final.
Well, twice. There you go. Not even a Wallabies versus All Blacks game, which used to fill it. That doesn't do it anymore. Mm. So if you got Manchester United played Liverpool out there, you'd fill it.
But
then you could, I know, don't worry. But then you could use it as a premium anyway. You could charge a premium for those tickets anyway.
Little change of pace, just for, sorry.
Can you tell, speaking of charging a premium for tickets, the increase in tickets for pensioners to go to the Everest and the little story that came out of that?
Yeah.
Or do you want to hold it over? Sorry, I'll put you on the spot.
Told the world.
I'll put you on the, no, we'll hold it over.
Okay. You think I should?
Well, it's too late.
Well, we can't. Anyway, gotta say.
What we'll do is we'll sort it out in this meeting. We'll sort it out in this meeting.
You can't tell this man anything.
And we might go, well, I think it's a brilliant story.
Well, I better tell it.
Well, no, I've taken your story now.
No, it's okay. Apparently, lady rang up, a lovely old lady, and said that she couldn't afford to go to the Everest because of the cost of the tickets, etc.
Right.
A gentleman heard, it was on a radio station, a gentleman heard, offered to pay for those, that elderly couple.
Fine gesture.
Okay. Peter Volandi's heard about this, somehow tracked down the gentleman who rang up to offer to pay.
Yes.
And said, you and your partner and the elderly couple are my guests at the luncheon yesterday.
Right.
Four of them turned up there, the elderly couple, well into their 90s. It turned out the gentleman was a World War II hero, and they had the time of their lives.
Fantastic.
And great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff. A little change of pace.
Yes.
Steve Smith scored some runs yesterday, James.
Oh, good. Finally, back into some runs.
David Best Warner Smith. Didn't. Moses Enriquez also got 100. New South Wales in a very strong position. He just loves to bat and bat and bat, doesn't he, Steve Smith?
He's incredible.
He is absolutely incredible.
He's a bit of a different dude.
Sorry, 2 for 275 after rolling Tasmania for 268. The Blues in control there.
A lot of people have had strong opinions on the actions and the sanction handed down to Nelson Asifa-Solomona over what we've seen over the course of the last week. What are your thoughts on that, Raymond?
It's such a difficult one, isn't it? Because as an if you see your friend in trouble, you go to their aid.
Yes.
And you try and do what you can.
Yes.
In this instance, though, if you say it about Nelson Asifa-Solomona, you're effectively condoning an act of violence.
That's such a difficult
issue. Yet how does a person like him walk away when his teammate's in trouble and being king hit? It's one of those ones, Jim, where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Outside of whether he should have been suspended or not. Why is he being suspended from New Zealand games?
Now, that's a good point.
Now, why is he being suspended from international
games? Has the NRL got sanction over that?
Well, they shouldn't. It's not an NRL-sanctioned competition. Why are they sanctioning him from NRL games?
So why doesn't New Zealand challenge him? Why don't New Zealand challenge him?
I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Maguire fires in a protest at some point.
Because it should be the International Rugby League.
New Zealand have three test matches coming up, including one against Australia on Friday, and then another one against a revamped and reformed Great Britain touring team. Why is Nelson Asifa-Solomona being banned for the international games and not the Melbourne Storm games?
You wouldn't think the NRL would have sanction over that, would they?
You wouldn't have thought so, but of course...
Where's the Australian-New Zealand test match? Is Wollongong?
Wollongong
you
Friday.
You there?
We'll have to discuss that, Raymond. We'll do that in off-air as well. Pat Webster coming up, by the way. Happy clapper. What a run. What a call.
Darren Flindell's call. He painted a fantastic picture, didn't he? It was unbelievable. One of the best calls, Darren. Well done, Darren.
Well done, Happy Clapper. We'll speak to Pat about that. Keith Dryden, Handle the Truth. What a beautiful name for a horse.
Yeah, and well done, Keith. He's a great bloke and probably his biggest win in racing. He's trained some good horses, but congratulations to him.
Then it's just a lottery who we get.
We're trying to do our best.
Out from the Yes, Yes, Yes camp.
We'll have had a big night, do you think?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Zorba will be along as well to have a chat. I know he was a big supporter of the International Nines. Is that right? No? Right, okay.
He might say, I'm vindicated, you think?
Well, probably.
Zorba might say that.
Would you ever hear him say, no, I got it wrong?
Very good point. Didn't Fonzie try and do that once on Abbey Days? He couldn't say it there.
Event Cinemas quiz. How did I go last week with Breeny?
James, would it surprise you to say I won last week?
No, it wouldn't. I'll tell you what. I was alerted online as to massacre that occurred last. And Breeny, apologies for that. You come in here, you know what?
You did a very, very good job, Breeny.
You're the schmuck. That's right. But Breeny, when it comes to the Event Cinemas quiz...
What is the score, by the way?
The odds are stacked against you, and that's putting it mildly. 24 points to 17.
How many weeks to go?
Well, what's the magic number, Ray? There's 52 weeks in the year.
Yeah,
what's
so
the magic number?
We're up to now, so I've got a 7-week lead. Am I almost over the line? What is it, four cartons? Four
if
cartons.
You lose from here, I'm going to call you the shark. All right?
US Masters 96.
That's it. Jared Daffy will be along from the tab as well. We'll speak to Phil Moss about A-League and EPL. We've got that big match coming up, Man United. Oh, it should be a big match. Hopefully it's competitive. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. We'll speak NBL from Brad Rosen. And we've got a new segment on today, an NFL update, because... Cowboys are going well. The Seattle Seahawks are going well. The San Francisco 49ers are going well. Well, I made the point... I used to go for the New York Giants, because I went to a Giants game in 2005.
Yeah.
Just lost a little interest in the Giants. Must be said.
I've been a Cowboys fan. not going well enough for you.
I'm like the 8-year-old kid that goes, who?
So who do you go for now?
Seattle Seahawks.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Michael Dixon's there, the kicker. Okay. He's an Aussie guy from down the Sutherland Shire.
Kings have got off a good start, 3-0.
Going very well. It'll be interesting to hear what Brad Rosen's thoughts are on NBL sides playing NBA sides not quite in the middle of their season. But
strange, isn't it?
Now, this is going to take people's breath away, but we had three strong nominations for a talk.
That's the first for us.
Be serious. No,
exactly.
I am. John, I am.
That is the first for us. I can't believe it.
Yeah. When Hamish walked in and told us his, I thought,
gee, that's good.
You had to pick me up off the floor, Roman. Could have knocked me over with a feather. He actually came up with a good idea.
You returned serve with a beauty.
And I had one that, and by the way, and we're not revealing them right now. We'll reveal what's written in your article, but we're not revealing these right now because we'll put them up the sleeve for a little bit later. But Raymond, you came in, felt your hand wasn't as strong.
No.
But you're yes, 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 you've come down the outside and won.
I thought I was a clear third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, we're watching the Kings game and the NBL slogan for this season, NBL 20, see incredible.
Yes.
Is it 10 yards on it? Could be a talk topic, and we'd start talking about slogans and things like that. And
so slogans for season?
Sport, yeah, oh, sport, that sort of thing. Things that you remember, you know. So.
Well, simply the best is hard to beat, isn't it?
Is that your nomination?
Well, that's one of them. I've got a couple here, but yeah.
Which one are you going with then?
You were doing a cricket one, but there's a big cricket one out there touched on me when I was at that age where I was highly impressionable.
Yeah, well, that's the source of mine.
Well, there you go.
Young boy and... My father used to take me to West Australian Shield games and the Wacker.
You and he were the spectators.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. 71-72 summer. And anyway, later that year, Australia went to England.
And I said, oh, what happens over there? You're only a young kid and you're reading the Bradman books and everything. And he said, oh, this is what happens. And then that was the year that the Australian cricket team, led by Ian Chappell, brought out this song. Here come the Aussies and cricket. Has stuck in my head ever since. And every time Australia go to the Ashes, England or Australia, that's the first thing I think of. So that slogan has stuck with me since I was a little boy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know how demanding Ray Thomas is here on a Sunday morning. He instructed panel operator Hamish, you must find this, and has subsequently been singing it
ever since. Can we just say that, James Smith, you said, panel operator Hamish, see if you can find that song. And as always, he's very resourceful, Hamish, he found it.
So there you go. We're looking for slogans, taglines, whatever it is.
Yours is?
No, I've done it. Simply the best. Right. This is another big one out there, though, that has got to be released. By the way, Wingman beer going from strength to strength. Big news for Wingman. We'll get to that throughout the course of the morning as well. And General Chow, that one, General Chow's restaurant, which has been confirmed, Sam Werrett, that the ones we were giving away earlier will be honoured, which is great, and the ones moving forward will be honoured as well.
So we're giving away a dinner for two, the vouchers worth $250.
Yes.
And that's two.
The contribution that makes us think.
It's too hard to do.
Where Eastern philosophy meets Western, whatever.
It doesn't,
anyway,
doesn't make much for us.
Doesn't make much.
Clean bowl us, but anyway.
Anyway, we'd love your contribution to the program. Make sure it happens. 1353 53.
Mum, want a bonus Woolies e-gift card valued up to $300?
Yes.
Well, buy a selected Bosch, Fisher & Paykel, Westinghouse, Beko, Amiga, DeLonghi, Smeg or Electrolux cooking appliance or dishwasher or a Vintec wine cabinet.
That's all. Well, buy yourself a wine cabinet. Here's the shopping list.
Buy selected cooking appliances, dishwashers or wine cabinets at Bing Lee.
And receive a bonus Woolies e-gift card valued up to $300 from Bing Lee.
Australian family owned for over 60 years.
Conditions apply. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse. I barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1-300-45-BEER. Take the Wingman challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities, enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Dave has got to within half a length, but Magical is toughing it out at the moment. Dave's still there, but still can't get by. And Magical, the champion stakes, goes to Aidan O'Brien and Donica O'Brien.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. James' favourite part of the show. But, James, you must be getting excited this time of year.
Oh, of course, right? You know carnival. I get excited for the race replays every week.
Of course you do. We'll go straight into the Kosciuszko. And this was a terrific race. And congratulations to Keith Dryden and the team with Handle the Truth.
Victorum one off the fence. And Berry looking to get into the clear on Victorum. Hasn't got there as yet. Awesome Pluck, the stablemate. It's outside at the 300. Don't Give a Damn from Notation. Wide out Handle the Truth from Starboy. Victorum still three off them. Noble Boy is getting a split now. Handle the Truth takes the lead. Noble Boy, Victorum's winding up now. Handle the Truth, the lead clear from Victorum, bombing late. Handle the Truth gets the money. Handle the Truth and the Kosciuszko from either Victorum or bobbing.
Had it in your forehand. handle the truth. Victorum probably a little disappointing. Was the run there for Noble Boy as well?
He was a little bit crowded. I wouldn't say disappointing. When you run 1.821, that's an incredible time for that class of sprinter. So Handle the Truth deserved that win. Bobbing flashed home late. He was a bit stiff, but great race.
By the way, beautifully named horse. Darren Flindell made mention of it. Star Witness. By Star Witness out of Assertively Handle the Truth, which of course is the famous response
Jack
from Colonel
Nicholson,
Jessup. That's right, on the stand there in A Few Good Men, which Darren Flindell references. So nice touch.
He was in great form yesterday, Darren Flindell. Let's listen to him again call a tremendous finish to the Sydney Stakes.
But home of the brave tries to kick at the top of the straight by three on Sir Flash. Then Easy Eddie, Brutal trying to wind up between them. He's really picking up the bottle now, Brutal.
So Deprive a win there, and the Blue Army had a good day yesterday. Now, you think VRC Sprint Classic?
It's a chance, because James did say he'd like to test this horse up the Flemington Straight, but he also then put that rider in by saying, I'm not in a hurry to do so. And there is a Group 3 sprint coming up in a couple of weeks. He believes it'll suit the winner, Deprive. So
$26,
not sure.
$26 yeah. Deprive. Santa Ana Lane, $4.50 favourite.
And this is why he's still favourite. Here is the Everest. After weeks or months of a build-up, this was a great contest.
Arcadia Queen's pushing out. In Her Time is next. Elise right behind from Classique Legend. And further back to Parada creeping into it. Santa Ana Lane, 5 off them, looking for room. Getting to the outside now. Nature's Trip at the 200. Two in front, the Red Zell. Yes, 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 is winding up. Further back then to Trekking. And Santa Ana Lane, the Colt. Yes, 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 takes the lead.
Should have backed it. Says
you've
yes
been saying
more
that
often. City Ford
months.
Says yes more often. Anyway, of course I didn't. Santa Ana Lane.
You're not happy with yourself.
Well, I was carrying my money yesterday. But, Raymond, you had some thoughts on the race.
Tremendous race. Santa Ana Lane broke his own track record, still couldn't win it. I think that underlines the quality of that field in the race. 1.732. What a time. I think will stand as the best sprint race anywhere in the world this year.
Yeah, right. And we've got a 50 million plus horse coming out. But not a Group 1.
Debate for another day.
Okay, sorry.
Just to underline how good it was, 10 Sovereigns, who's one of Europe's best, if not the best sprinter.
Yes.
He got monstered yesterday.
Yeah.
He's run last. He just couldn't go that speed with that quality of field.
You mentioned the VRC Sprint. Excuse me. Santa Ana Lane, $4.50 favourite. Pierrata at
$6. A little bit unlucky, Pierrata.
Did Pierrata get, yeah, couldn't quite
yeah,
get...
that inside barrier went against him.
Mm. Yes. $8 there.
Yeah, interesting to see what they do. They weren't sure yesterday where they'll go with him, so hopefully we'll get hold of Chris Waller a bit later and find out. Darren Flindell, this was a fantastic call and a popular win. The Clapper gets up in the Craven Plate.
Happy Clapper Hill together. Stampede flat to the board to the outside. Happy Clapper comes up the riser half in front to Stampede. Sambadout staying on. Lifeless Ordinary. He needs a run desperately. Tully keeps him in a pocket and he's coming hard. Happy Clapper in front from Tully. The outside going to second. Happy Clapper in front from Tully. And Happy Clapper. Give him a big round of applause. What a win. Happy Clapper wins the Craven Plate from Tully.
I think they call that being raced upside down. Is that right? Is that right? Right? And the direct quote from Tommy Berry afterwards was, well, that went to plan.
Tongue in cheek.
Which it didn't. However,
great
right
ride.
Result.
Yeah, great ride. Given that he was three wide, you can't win doing that in a 2,000 metre weight for age race. When they were running along, so he had to take some action and he decided, I'm going forward.
So the call from Darren Flindell was, as Happy Clapper caught three wide, immediately goes to the front. Well, put your hand up if you thought this was going to happen.
And no one did. Yeah.
No.
Given there was Stampede and also Samadad in the race, who are noted front runners.
We're going to speak to Paddy Webster. How was he during the course of the race?
He turned his back, he said. Couldn't watch it. He had to turn back down and watch it.
Now, can you repeat exactly what you said to me about where do you think Happy Clapper might be going?
Yeah, he'll have a month between runs, and he's going to the new race, the $1 million, the Gong, at Kembla Grange over the mile on November 23.
Wow.
Massive headline horse for whatever they do, just get the Clapper there.
because you need a headline
you
horse
need
in these
stars.
Big races.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'll be fantastic to go to Kembla 1600 metres. It's a quality race. He won't get the grandstand. Ideal for the clapper.
Perfect.
Yep. Caulfield Cup Day yesterday. This was a great race. He's a good horse, this bloke. Six in a row for Japan's Murder Glass.
Followed by Brimham Rocks, Mirage Dancer runs on behind those bound, declaring Murder Glass right down the outside at the 200. Finch strikes the front, but here comes Murder Glass. Murder Glass takes Finch, followed by Mirage Dancer, bound to clear. Murder Glass, 100 metres to go, kicks away, two legs bound to clear. Murder Glass, it's the Japanese again. Murder Glass from bound to clear, photo third, Mirage Dancer or Constantinople then.
Haven't they had some success over here as Japanese stayers? There's a Caulfield Cup win. Constantinople, though, on the back
unlucky.
Of that run that you thought was eye-catching,
unlucky,
is now a $6.50 favourite for the Melbourne Cup. Murder Glass, $8, along with Surprise Baby Finch.
No luck, Finch, yesterday. Great run. Don't sack him for Flemington.
$10.
And Bow and Declare was good yesterday as well.
Cross counter looking to go back-to-back, $15.
There you go.
There you go.
Caulfield Cup.
There's the race replays, Raymond. Now, we've got an SMS that's come in here too, by the way. Rugby Union, it used to be such a great sport to watch. How great was it when the back line was set deep and the ball was thrown around and they go on and on and on and say, look, give the coaching job to Campo. At least he won't be frightened to attack and won't die wondering. Oh, and did I mention the TMO? By the way, thanks for the beer. It's going down nicely. Mark from Muswellbrook. So that was his thoughts on that Wallabies versus England game.
Some blokes chimed in and said, shut up, Ray, learn a sport. What was that for?
I don't know. Anyway.
No name to that one.
Yeah, no, keep it coming in, and we'll probably try to get to only the positive ones. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get the callers who are on the line there now. G'day, James.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Just my thoughts on the World Nines.
Yes.
I thought the product was excellent, right, as far as the playing on the field. It wasn't mirrored by the marketing of it. The marketing of that tournament was poorly done. I don't think it got enough airplay or media coverage during the crucial NRL final series. And I also think that within Sydney, if that's a tournament, a World Cup, inaugural World Cup tournament in Sydney, there should have been a lot more, like, for instance, flags or, you know, banners or things like that about that tournament in Sydney, if New South Wales Destinations sponsored it. I didn't notice when I visited Sydney for the grand final, I'd seen more stuff about the World Cup Rugby Union, which happened to be in Japan, than I did of any upcoming World Cup inaugural nines.
Yeah, okay. Look, James, I'll take your point on that. One this week, it was very hard to get some free air around the Everest. So from that point of view, I understand. It's not a bad point you make around a bit more promotion during the course of the semi-final series, especially given that the NRL were promoters of that tournament over Friday
difficult
and Saturday.
Day through the semi-final series, isn't
but
it? How do you do that?
There's a real focus on your club team that you've supported for an age.
That message would get lost, wouldn't it?
Potentially. And in regards to the Rugby World Cup, pretty big tournament. Mm. You know, they expect to make a profit of £250 million in this year's or this cycle's edition of the Rugby World Cup.
Have you watched much of it?
A little bit.
Mm. What do you think?
It's been frustrating.
Yeah.
Watched some Wallaby games and I thought, oh, can't frustrate. I tell you what, if you're a rugby league fan and you think you have an issue with the bunker, the TMO is a nightmare. Everyone.
No one can work it out.
No one is fatigued at the end of a TMO.
It takes forever.
And that's the problem.
It takes forever.
That's the problem.
Stretches a game out as long as an NFL.
Absolutely. There was a pointed question from an English journalist to Wallabies coach Michael Checker after the match. This was his response.
Michael, appreciate the time frame, but you have said in the past that if you didn't win the World Cup, you wouldn't seek reappointment. Is that still your intention? And if not, what's the time frame that you'll give yourself for that?
If you appreciate the time frame, why ask the question? Well, when the time comes, I'll tell them. I don't need to know today. It's not going to kill them.
There we go. That was Michael Checker. In fact, that was an earlier question or a later question, but there was an English journalist. And Checker said, look, mate, I've had my heart ripped out 15, 20 minutes ago, and you're asking me that question. In fairness, it's a fair question if you're a journo.
And he did say that before the World Cup.
That's right. That's right.
They want to win the World Cup.
We'll take your thoughts on the tenure of Michael Checker, 13:53:53. Let's get to Adrian on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you going? Yeah.
Look, morning, Adrian.
Yeah, how are you? It doesn't surprise me now that the Nines fell a bit flat. The NRL, they are absolutely useless. I mean, you talk about how do you promote the Nines game during the final series. Why not have a Nines little mini thing in between games? I mean, they should have never played the women's game before the main grand final, the Canterbury Cup. I mean, that was just pandering to political correctness. It was pathetic. And of course you could promote the Nines game. And again, Jimmy, I agree 100%. I said it a while back that, I mean, absolutely drop the ball in terms of playing the grand finals next 3 years. Cause, you know, talk about keeping it provincial. You know, they could have sold Suncorp five times out. You have it there. You have it at Perth. You have it in Adelaide. Everyone says, if you have it at Perth and it's the Rabbitohs versus Manly, you give it, if it's a one-off for those teams, you fill it with them. Otherwise, you fill it with other rugby league players. You build a whole event around it. Well, they should have built a whole event around the Nines, and it would have been sensational. They dropped the ball. They are useless.
Thank you, Adrian. We do appreciate that. All thoughts and opinions are welcome on this program. I've got to say, you know, because grand final week's its own thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many events going on, and there's so much, there's an exuberance within the town. Brisbane deserve it.
Yeah, hard to argue against
Brisbane
it.
Deserve
as
that.
Even just as a one-off.
It's not forever, and we know that there's a deal in place to 40-44.
Yes.
But they deserve one, at least, surely.
Before we, I know where you come from. Before we go to a quick break, might have a clubhouse leader for our General Chow's voucher.
Fire away, Raymond.
Mitch from Tamworth on our talk topic, which is about slogans and sport.
Yes.
And Mitch says, I still think the AFL's I'd like to see that campaign from the 1990s was amazing. To get Carl Lewis, John McEnroe and Evander Holyfield under your marketing salary cap, it'd make them Roosters proud.
Oh, see this, Mitch... It was going so
it
well.
It still went well.
And look how you've gone you've and spoiled it.
It's good, Mitch. Clubhouse leader, Mitch. Well done.
Talk topic entry. How do you feel? That's from Stu.
Yes. Yes.
That was a beer campaign rather than just
still,
a sporting
still
event.
Still good, though.
Very good.
Based
very
around
good.
Sport. Yeah.
This is Sky Sports Radio, heard throughout New South Wales, including Casino, 87.6 FM, Murrurundi, 98.5 FM, Hilston, 87.6 FM, and Dubbo on 90.3 FM.
Mum, do you have any interest in what I'm about to say?
Well, I have zero interest, Lionel.
That's what I'm talking about.
Me having no interest?
Bing Lee having no interest for 60 months.
I'm interested.
Spend over $2,300 at Bing Lee and receive 60 months interest-free.
60 months? That's 5 years interest-free at Bing Lee.
Australian family-owned for over 60 years.
Approved applicants only. Fees, conditions and minimum finance amount $2,300 apply. Credit by FlexiCards Australia. Offer ends October 21, 2019.
In the courtyard of a pub, some people get to talking and decide to split a bag of peanuts or go halves in a bowl of chips. Others consider sharing something bigger, like a cheese board. Then there are those who go, how about everybody chips in and buys a racehorse? They soon realise that's unlikely. So they get excited about taking out a group quaddie together instead. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
With over 400 winning graduates since 2013, the English Ready to Race sale continues to be the best source of success of its kind. The 2019 edition will be held at Riverside Stables on Tuesday, October 22. To view the catalogue, visit inglis.com.au.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5 minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities, enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Rice misses his kick. Richarlison.
His time is precious. The neck in front. The post goes a bit off. Tommy Gold for being a late. Post goes after. Time is precious. Time is precious. Repelling the challenge and time is precious. Ben Boss wins the first from post code.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Ah, there's another winner for Bossy on the day.
Good timing.
Yeah, very good timing. Just before we get to Glenn, who's on the line very quickly, Con says on Twitter, by the way, talking about talk topic of slogans, surely the NRL slogan by Thomas Keneally, blow that whistle, ref, will go down as one of the greats. And then there's the laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji.
That's from Conzi.
I don't think he's actually sincere about that, Conzi.
Moved up the clubhouse leader, past Mitch.
Well past Mitch.
Anyway, should we move on?
Yes, we should.
We have Glenn Boss on the line, and of course he had a memorable day, and he's been good enough to join us. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Raymond. How are you, buddy?
Terrific, mate. More importantly, how are you? And congratulations yesterday. And I know in the aftermath you're getting bombarded with a million questions, and you're trying to put that win into context. The morning after, can you put that Everest win into context, given you've had so many extraordinary highlights in your career, Glenn?
Yeah, Ray, it's right up there with the best things I've ever done on a racetrack. I can guarantee you that. It's just, and that's, I don't know, that's not sugarcoating it or anything. That's just, what I felt yesterday was just, you know, I'm still trying to come to grips with it, you know. I think it's the whole concept, Ray, the build-up, you know what I mean? Like, The actual moment is a byproduct of what was going on before it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what it was. So, you just get the good crowd there. It just felt very electric on the day. I think the build-up was, it was well done. The whole thing was, you know, there's so many different scenarios that could have come out of that race. I'm sure if you could run it again in different barriers or different scenarios, you just get different results. And it was it was a very high pressure moment. Like, you could tell on the day that, you know, you don't get these moments very often, but you walk onto a racetrack or walk onto an event and you just get that feeling that it's a bit different, you know. It's very different, difficult to explain sometimes. I suppose it's like a grand final, you know, the boys walk on the paddock that day and the volume's just turned right up in your body. And so you feel very energetic and energised. You feel very alive. And that's what it felt like walking on the racetrack yesterday. And as the build-up got towards that race, it just felt like the volume was getting a little bit more higher. And So the actual outcome of when you win this event was a byproduct of all those things that were going on before it. And so when you actually come out on top, it's just... You don't have many moments in sport like that. For me, it's just I was lost for any word to sort of. I'm still lost for it. I don't know what to say because it was unexplainable what was happening in my body at that time. I wish you could bottle it and just hand it around to people because it was just unbelievable.
Okay, so how do you manage that, Bossy? And how important was your experience in big races in managing it?
Well, it's not the before part that I'm worried that for me. It's that when you cross the line and you're pulling up, that's the moment for me. Whoa, you know, this is, your body's doing some crazy things. It's like almost electric. It's like, I don't know, I can only explain it like, you know, if you jump in an ice bath and then you jump into a warm water, your body just fires, you know, like with fully electric shocks. It's, but you know what, like, the stuff before the race, I just had to slow myself. It was a bit too easy for me. Like, it's just, I don't know. You just watch that colt. I really love to observe. You know, I watched him walk in enclosure yesterday, and he was exactly like he was the week before when he was just having the track work up. He strolled around there with not a care in the world. Wow. He hadn't got hot, you know what I mean, for a colt on a very warm day. So that puts me at ease straight away. I go, okay, beautiful, he's on. And then, you know, because if you see a different animal, you know, G'd up and, you know, rocking and rolling and sweating, all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've got a job ahead of me. I've got to really just go and control this animal. But as soon as I've seen that, I go, beautiful, that job done. And when you get on him and you feel the calmness of the horse and you get out there in the track and you think that he hasn't changed, that puts me to ease, and then it's just, you have to just go and execute. And I was lucky enough that I was able to do that yesterday.
And you had a specific game plan, didn't you, Glenn? And Chris Waller backed you to the hilt.
Well, Chris said to me, well, he didn't say a lot, you know, which was good. He just said, in my thinking, he said, regardless of what happens today, going forward, he said, for this colt, I don't want him to have that gut buster early. He said, you know, obviously you got to just rely on he's going to have a good turn of speed if you give him the right ride. Mm. But he said, that's how good he is, right? He said, for the future going forward, forget this race. I don't want this horse to be bottomed out today because we still have the future, which is unbelievable, right?
Wow.
He's talking about that already.
Yeah.
So, and that just gave me the confidence because I was going to ride him that way. All I wanted to do was follow my mate Nash. That's all I wanted to do. I thought, that's my bunny. And then when Trekking went forward and I was out there, when Huey went forward...
On Elise,
that was... I went from Nash right on the back of Elise's back and I thought, this is unbelievable. Like, I've got two horses I want to be around because Huey thought he'd be behind me. Mm. I was actually behind Huey, you know, we were talking about last night at dinner. So when I got on Elise's back, I thought, well, there's my bunny because it will take me. But you know, you have to look at that horse of sectionals, right? That was incredible. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, like, 10-5, just broke 10-5 there for a furlong. That's incredible stuff.
Mm. 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 Bossy, there's a photo of you in the bath in the paper today. Now, you got the goggles on, and what's going on? What's the technique there?
Oh, it was so funny. It was the night before, and I was just there to slow. I'm going to jump in the bath and just have a bit of relax. You know, just getting there and just mellow out and relax. 10-15 minutes,
yep.
Not to lose weight or anything. Anyway, I was in there, and I'm not relaxing very well. I'm making a bit of noise, and she's going, what the hell are you doing in there? You're swimming. So I snuck out of the bath, and I went, and because me and Huey, we started doing a bit of training, swimming and stuff, and I had the goggles and that, and I put them on. I said, Dale, can you better get in here? There's something wrong with you. And I just nearly fell over laughing. So I was just taking the piss out of myself, and I thought, you know what, that'd be just fun just to send that one out there, because... It's not, you know, I mean, everyone takes it so seriously sometimes, you know, and, you know, there is a different side to it sometimes. I was just taking the piss out of myself and making it a bit funny.
No, exactly. Hey, Glenn, it's been a tremendous comeback to Sydney and Australian racing already by you. What's the rest of the spring hold, in particular the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup and also the Golden Eagles there as well?
Yeah, oh, mate, Ray, I'm actually pinching myself. And then that's not an understatement. I'm just living the dream right now. I've spoken to you many times, Ray, since I've been home. I just feel re-energized, feel real vigorated. I actually feel like I'm back at that space where I was around that 02, 03, 04, 05 years.
Yep.
You know, I actually physically feel that same feeling. My headspace is good. I'm great. I just feel fantastic. So the spring forward is, you know, looking so good for me. Obviously, Cox Plate, though, I won't be down there. Cox Plate, I'm going to be up here, riding the Bondi.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll pack up and we'll get down to Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup and then hopefully beyond. It looks like, you know, the more I think about it, I think this is where I'll end up staying.
Yeah.
I, you know what I mean? I just...
It's working, mate. It's working, isn't it?
I mean, it just feels comfortable, right? So I think I'll just make Sydney my base again.
Things seem to be working out, Bossy. That's fantastic. Congratulations on yesterday. Really big day for you, quite obviously, and everyone involved in yes. And as always, mate, you're good with your time on a Sunday, and we appreciate it.
No, that's good, mate. Listen, I would like to say, like Ray's been... And this is no word of a lie. Ray's been my number one supporter. Like when I've been down or out or whatever, Ray's always sent me a text. He sends me a text every Saturday morning before the big one. Don't you, Ray?
Yeah, well, mate. Yeah.
Without doubt.
Look after good people, Glenn. So.
Best luck for the day. Like not many people go out of the way. I know you're busy, Ray, and you have that time to spend 30 seconds to just send me a text on a Saturday morning saying all the best, mate. And, you know, it goes noted. Don't worry about that, Ray. It goes noted, and it's certainly... I know that it comes from your heart too, mate, so I really appreciate it.
Good on you, Glenn. Congratulations.
Has he invoiced you yet for that, Glenn?
Mate, he can send me whatever he wants.
That's an open door. Tanya's hands up. he writes books and doesn't invoice people for them, so you'll be safe, Glenn.
Are you handling the negotiations there for me, Jim?
You want me to handle one with Glenn?
No, Glenn's okay.
Glenn's all right.
Cool.
Hey, mate, well done, Bossy.
Yeah, congratulations,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time. Thanks,
Glenn. Glenn Boss there, the jock of Yes, Yes, Yes. Yes, absolutely incredible win yesterday.
goes for home. 200 to go. Four, five lengths in front. Thought of that. This is going to be a demolition. Warning into second. But thought of that. Wow, what a win. Four lengths Warning.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And, Jimmy, another popular win yesterday. I was really happy for this man, Keith Dryden, the trainer of Handle the Truth. He plotted this campaign towards the Kosciuszko meticulously and had his horse primed for the big day, and he's been good enough to join us. Keith, good morning. Congratulations. And I know you've had many highlights yourself over your training career, but, gee, that must rank at the top of the pile, so to speak, winning the Kosciuszko. Good morning, Keith.
Yes, good morning, Ray and Jimmy. Yes, yeah, it worked out perfectly for us, so everybody's very happy.
Yeah, and the concept itself, Keith, I'd imagine in what's been really tough times in provincial and country areas, yeah, exactly, it gives a focus for everyone involved in the industry.
Most certainly, and it gives the ordinary everyday punter an opportunity to be involved and earn some big money.
Tell us about this horse, Keith, because, as I said, you meticulously planned this preparation. You wanted to go second up into the Kosciuszko. What is it about the horse that you had confidence you only needed that one lead up run into the race?
Previously, Ray's gone really well second up. He's a horse that doesn't need a real lot to, you know, keep him maintained. Mm-hmm. So once I knew I'd got him to where I wanted him and had this feeling that there was always 10% more to come. Mm-hmm. So, it's appeared that that's what's happened. So we just got there on the right day and everything fell into place.
Forgive my ignorance, Keith. You ever trained a horse that's won over $1 million in prize money previously?
Yeah. Be pretty close, I think. I have had a couple of good horses. I had a horse called Into the Night, which we got invited to Hong Kong in the big sprint race for. Won on Melbourne Cup Day a couple of times down in Melbourne. I think Brett Pebble and Darren Beedman used to ride him, so it's getting a while ago, but not so much for Brett, but for Darren. So, he was a good horse, at roughly around $1 million. I think he just might have been a bit under.
Well, $1,004,420
for Handle the Truth.
There's a cast of thousands in the ownership, which is great, but who came up with the name? Because it's a beauty.
Yeah, well, we're just one of the owners. Laurel Oak run a system where everybody puts the numbers in, names in. I think the distributor attached lot our number, and if that number comes out, they're the first one to get a crack at the name. So
okay.
I don't know actually who did it, but somebody did along the line in that sort of fashion.
Yeah. And Keith, I know yesterday was a grand final, and it's going to be hard to top, but he was only second up, as I said. Have you had a chance to even think about beyond the Kosciuszko for the rest of this spring?
Ray, you know racing. I haven't had a chance, but at this stage, from the text I'm getting, I believe we're heading to the Coolmore.
Fair enough.
But that won't be happening.
He's a three-year-old. Not a three-year-old anymore.
But after a few drinks last night, I got quite a few texts, and Coolmore was on the top of the list. But we'll head to Melbourne, I think, and probably find one of the minor races down there if we can. Yeah. We'll keep him just ticking through his classes until he gets to that stage where it'll be difficult, I don't know, but he's a quality horse and everybody's having a great ride.
Geez, you come up big on the back of the Canberra Times today, Keith.
Right? Yeah.
I don't buy the Canberra Times at the moment, so I just haven't had time. So, and I'm actually still in Sydney, so I'll get home to this afternoon.
Well,
we've
had one of our listeners send in a picture of the back page, and the headline is, "They Can't Handle the Truth." Great photo there of Nash and Handle the Truth getting across the line, and a little inset of you, mate. Fantastic.
Well, I'll have to go along and spend the $2.60 or whatever you can have a look.
No, do that. That'd be fantastic. Keith, congratulations. Great day for you yesterday, and we again appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks, Keith.
Keith Dryden there, the trainer of Handle the Truth. Time now to say g'day to Tanya for the first time this morning with scratchings around the country.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Wyong and Nowra. We have the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. We'll start with Wyong. The weather is fine. The track are good for the rail out 3 metres the entire course, and there are 12 scratchings. Race 1, take out 5, Ditra, and 7, Light of Uluru, 5 and 7. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 6, Sir Piccolo, number 6. Races 4 and 5 are clear. Go to race 6, take out 2, Elusive Nature, 3, Mo the Great, and 7, Stunned, 2, 3 and 7. Race 7, number 3, Legend of Oz, 4, Game of Thorns, 9, Palurian, and 11, Soami, 3, 4, 9 and 11. And from race 8, number 2, Mr. Costigan, and 7, Sun Suzy, 2 and 7 out of race 8 at Wyong. Nowra, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is true, penetrometer 4.89 and 12 scratchings. Race 1, take out 4, Grand Awakening, number 4. Race 2, number 2, Murridge, and 11, Classic Gown, 2 and 11. Race 3, number 3, Hidden Ace, number 3. The fourth race is clear. Race 5, number 1, Cry of Achilles, 7, Chabrol, 10, Eagle Hawk, and 12, Wriggles, 1, 7, 10, and 12. Race 6 is clear, and race 7, number 2, JT's, 11, Foxy Free, 12, Louder, and 14, Swan Island, 2, 11, 12, and 14 from race 7 at Nowra. And the Sunshine Coast, these are only updated at the moment. The weather there is fine, the track a soft 5, the rail at 2 metres the entire course, 6.7 is the penetrometer and 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2, Exceedingly, and 7, Vienna Moon, 2 and 7. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 5, Sea Rendre, 10, Daring Bell, and 13, Jump Start, 5, 10 and 13. Out of race 4, number 1, Arizona Sun, 2, Big Brook, and 11, Hallowed Girl, 1, 2 and 11. Race 5, number 1, Schubert, and 7, Arrow Express, 1 and 7. From race 6, number 1, Moshkiki, 7, Smart Rocky, 9, Tales of the Heart, and 13, Boots and All, 1, 7, 9, and 13. From race 7, number 12, Dream Serenade, and 13, Jet and Wild, 12 and 13. And race 8, number 1, Galway Girl, 5, Reef Bug, 7, Gypsy's Tip, 8, Rock Tour, and 13, We Are 1048. 1, 5, 7, 8 and 13 from race 8 at the Sunshine Coast. And remember, they are just updated at the moment.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today at Wyong, race 4, number 7, Beaufort Park, into race 5, number 1, Iso Rich. It's the easiest race Iso Rich has been in a long time,
yes.
Jim. Hasn't won for ages, but he might be able to break back today. Now up, last two races, race 6, number 6, Madam Oaks, into race 7, number 8, Jewel of the Crown.
We will put those out on social media just before we go to the news. Two contributions to the program that are very, very strong. May find themselves some wingman beer. The first one comes from Eagle-Eyed Phil. Now all the jockeys will be asking, Ray, where was my text on a Saturday morning? Oh, don't worry. I think he sends them out to everyone. Is that right?
No, you do it to good people.
Okay. And then Lenny/Barty on Twitter has
this
come
is,
up with this,
this
one.
Very good.
Okay, Jimmy and Ray, I'll articulate what Bossy is struggling to describe regarding his emphatic win yesterday. Blue light disco, prettiest girl wants to dance with you, then she pashes you. Regards, Lenny. News time.
I'm Kim Cartwright. A 20-hour non-stop flight from New York to Sydney has landed. It's one of three test flights Qantas is conducting to assess the impacts of ultra-long haul on pilots and crew members. Australian and International Pilots Association's Mark Sedgwick says there's still a long way to go before ultra-long flights will be regularly scheduled.
The only aircraft that can do this are still, one's still on the drawing board from Boeing and the other is only just entered service from Airbus. So really this is it's sort of pioneering approach at the stage.
The British Prime Minister has suffered a setback as UK lawmakers agreed to delay approval of his deal until Parliament passes legislation needed to enact it. The amendment passed 322 votes to 306. Boris Johnson has told MPs he won't be asking the European Union for an extension to the 31st of October deadline, even though he's legally required to do so. Scottish National Party leader Ian Blackford is warning the PM to do the right thing.
Any failure of the Prime Minister who thinks he's above the law? Well, Prime Minister, you'll find yourself in court. Yeah.
Two teenagers are in police custody after a 49-year-old man was knocked unconscious and left to die in southeast Queensland. A silver sedan was seen pursuing a white ute along the promenade at Springfield Lakes last night, and police say when the car stopped, two 19-year-olds threatened the 49-year-old man, allegedly hitting and knocking him out before fleeing the scene. The man died and a homicide investigation has been launched. Police are appealing for any potential witnesses or anyone with dash cam or CCTV footage to come forward. A new life-changing cystic fibrosis medicine will soon be made available on the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. From December 1, Symdeko will be listed, while the current listing of Orkambi will also be expanded. Health Minister Greg Hunt says it'll make a huge difference.
These medicines would otherwise cost $250,000 a year. Now they'll be available for as little as $6.50, and they will help save lives and protect lives and transform lives for 1,400 Australians.
A 43-year-old Iraqi man is in custody after being charged over a 2001 smuggling disaster that left more than 350 people dead when a boat sank in international waters. The man appeared in court yesterday and was remanded in custody until October 31. Police will allege the man took payments from passengers and helped with transport and accommodation in Indonesia in preparation for their journey to Australia. He's charged with organising groups of non-citizens into Australia contrary to migration laws and faces 10 years in jail. To the US, and Republican support for President Donald Trump is ebbing in the face of repeated scandals. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, one of the president's staunchest supporters, has signalled it's okay to criticise the American president's foreign policy in a scathing opinion piece in the Washington Post. US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
Republican Congressman Mike Simpson of Idaho added he doesn't know if he can defend the White House on the decision to host next year's G7 summit at Trump's Doral Resort in Miami because it's a kickback that he's doing for his own benefit. And Senator Mitch McConnell rejected President Trump's America First foreign policy. Withdrawing from Syria is a grave mistake, and America's wars will be endless only if America refuses to win them. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
This is Air News. Australia has suffered a record 40-16 loss to England at the Rugby World Cup semi-finals. The Wallabies had the majority of possession, 65%, but the English side pressured the men in gold into making costly errors. Captain Michael Hooper says the side is very disappointed.
Gutted, absolutely gutted. Our players have been at it for a long time now and emptied the tank. There's a lot of players who, you know, won't get another chance. The World Cup, you know, some guys have done a lot of work to get into this squad.
A decision on whether Scott McLaughlin's Bathurst 1000 win is upheld will be made public today. He's likely to keep the Bathurst title but face a hefty fine. In cricket, WA will start day three of the Shield clash in Perth, 2 for 116, trailing Victoria by 225 runs. In NBL, South East Melbourne Phoenix held on to beat the Illawarra Hawks 106 to 102 in front of 10,000 fans at Melbourne Arena, while Adelaide 36ers defeated Brisbane Bullets 104 to 98. In today's matchups, New Zealand play Sydney and Melbourne meet Perth. It was a tight finish in the A-League clash between Perth Glory and Western United, ending with a 1-1 draw. Central Coast Mariners and Newcastle Jets also drew 1-1. Aussie Jack Miller will start in position 6 for this afternoon's MotoGP in Japan. It's the last race before the event moves to Phillip Island. Australian Independent Radio News.
For all the best in racing and all the latest in sport, this is Sky Sports Radio. Coming to you via 96.9 FM Cooma, 97.1 FM Junee, 87.6 FM Tumut and 88 FM Yamba.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Mum, do you have any interest in what I'm about to say?
Well, I have zero interest, Lionel.
That's what I'm talking about.
Me having no interest?
Bing Lee having no interest for 60 months.
I'm interested.
Spend over $2,300 at Bing Lee and receive 60 months
and interest-free.
60 months? That's 5 years interest-free at Bing Lee.
Australian family-owned for over 60 years.
Approved applicants only. Fees, conditions and minimum finance amount $2,300 apply. Credit by FlexiCards Australia. Offer ends October 21, 2019.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Don't miss out. Up to 50% off collections for your home must end tomorrow. So hurry in store to save up to 50% off. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au. T's and C's apply. A few street festivals closing some roads today. In Crow's Nest, Willoughby Road will be out of action between Falcon and Chandos Streets from midday. In Eastwood, parts of Rowan Trelawney Streets are closed already for the Granny Smith Festival. And in Marrickville, they're going to take out parts of Marrickville Road and Illawarra Roads from 10. Melbourne Cup at the Star is the hottest ticket this side of Flemington, with live entertainment and award-winning menus from $59. Race into the starsydney.com.au, over 18s only. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
And we'll start with Sydney, lovely sunny day, top of 21 degrees. Melbourne, cloudy and 17. Brisbane, morning fog, then mostly sunny day, a top of 29. Perth, maximum of 25, partly cloudy day. Adelaide, cloud clearing, top of 19. Hobart, possible morning shower, top of 17. Darwin, pretty warm today, top of 37 degrees and sunny. And the nation's capital, morning frost, sunny, top of 21.
More like Alan Wilkie than Alan Wilkie.
Oh, jeez.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Probably hard to say a star is born when he's already played State of Origin this year, but David Fifita certainly announced himself as an absolute talent for the future. He's 19 years of age. There is Australia winning the nines for the men's, and there is New Zealand winning the nines for the women. Great game, that one, too. 17 points to 15 over Australia. Coming up very shortly, we'll have a chat with Zorb. We'll go and have a chat, hopefully, with Paddy Webster. Yeah, we're trying to track him down. We'll have the events in him as quiz. That's obviously the result. You could probably tell us what's the result in that one, Ray.
No, you're a very hard man.
I think it's called a boat race.
It's called a competition. That's what it's called.
Yeah, that's seriously. Right. I think it's been misnamed. But anyway, and then we'll have a chat with Jared Daffy from Tab as well. And, of course, our talk topic today has been strongly received, and that is the slogans, the advertising slogans that have been used over the years by sports, by teams, etc. Raymond?
This one's from Muzz. Going to be hard to beat. Morning, boys, for sports anthems. You can't go past Come On Aussie, Come On for cricket. And Up There Kazali for VFL and AFL. The worst anthem is a bloody Darryl Braithwaite horses song that they play before the cocks float every day.
Can't he pick up a gig?
He won't beat the Cox Plate this year, Darryl.
Well, he was at the NRL Grand Final.
Well, that's right.
Talked all over him. Anyway, yeah, Come On Aussie, Come On. That was the one. That was the one. I was, what was I, 6 years of age in 1977, 78, 79, when they've got those ads that are playing. Remember when you used to set up the tape recorder next to, what are you laughing at? Next to the TV at home. Who did you used to do this? When the song came on, because you wanted to learn the
but
words.
You had to press
it.
Two buttons, remember?
There was no internet to go to.
Yeah, you had to press two.
So you had to press play record on the old blank tape.
So that showing our age now.
Then you could then play it back, write down all the words. And, mate, I reckon they're in my head forever.
Yeah, it was extraordinary, wasn't it? Yeah.
The gentleman of the ACB. Quarterly invite you all to see three international teams looking splendid in their creams.
This is fantastic.
Oh, it? Absolutely.
It just stuck in your head.
Yeah. We're talking a lot
Lillies
about...
pound them down like a machine.
Yes. Yes. Pasco's making divots in the cream, Raymond. We're talking a lot about the Wallabies' performance last night. I know Zorb will have a thought on that. And the penalty handed down to Nelson Asifa Solomona. There's been lots of comment about it. Be very interesting
What's
to hear.
What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts, James?
I'm very similar to you, Ray. Very similar to you on this one.
Damned if you don't.
Correct. Yes, going to the aid of a mate is a very noble thing and what you would expect. You know, you pull the cat's tail, you get the whole cat.
Yeah.
But you can't be a vigilante. You can't take the law into your own hands because then very swiftly the law can come down heavily on you.
Correct, yeah.
So, but anyway, let's find out what Zorb thinks. That's what he gets paid for. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Joe. Pete, how are you?
Lily's pounding down like a machine. How was it?
It was great, wasn't it? Yeah.
You know, I was ghosting a great DK Lily at the time. And, wow, what a star he was. Okay.
Yeah, Nelson, what was your thoughts? My point earlier, Zorb, was that why is the NRL getting involved and banning him for international matches when really it should be, in my opinion, a ban coming for the Melbourne Storm?
Exactly. I think that the Storm have conned the NRL integrity unit here over Big Nelson and his high-profile brawl in Bali. The only people that have been penalised are the New Zealand Rugby League because the big fella won't be in the upcoming Test match against England, which was, you know, eagerly awaited. On the face of it, we're all thinking initially that every Australian comes to the aid of a mate in times of trouble, and it appeared first up that that was the case. I mean, we had somebody like Brayton Astor, who was a witness to what went on inside the bar, and stated quite openly that Big Nelson had no choice to do what he did. The NRL was wrong to fine and suspend Big Nelson. It's a bit crazy over the top, finding three international matches as a suspension and a fine. But Melbourne went out of their way to push that side of it. But it actually was over, by all accounts. No charges laid, no problems. And then Big Nelson went outside and then was abused and on it went again. And that's when the damage was done. But no police charges here. No suggestion, really, that a bottle was involved. And I think the Storm have gone out of their way to push that side of it. And then escape scot-free. They'll have the big fella ready and willing to go for the start of next season.
But yep.
I still think that the integrity unit oversteps the mark, and I think the NRL oversteps the mark. It's like Big Brother, and I think players can't be sitting shots to anybody that wants to take on a high-profile person. I think it's a shame. I don't know why teams are going to Bali, where it's a tough place and trouble follows them. Somewhere quieter would be much better for them to go and enjoy each other's company at the end of the season like we all enjoy want to do.
Yeah. Hey, Zorb, Jimmy raised the point earlier. Surely New Zealand Rugby League have a chance to challenge this ban, haven't they?
I don't think they can. It's out of their jurisdiction.
It's in the NRL's jurisdiction to ban an international player.
Yeah, how does that work?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, how does anything work in the NRL these days? I mean, how about them? I think the way the Nines was conducted 2 weeks after the grand final was poor timing. Thank God for the Tongan supporters because they wouldn't have had anybody there. It was poorly attended. I quite enjoyed the Nines for what it is, but the timing was wrong. It should be at the start of the season where everyone's keen on seeing some new talent on display, and we could have seen that, but we didn't get the opportunity to really do that. I mean, we didn't learn much. I think that in the women's, Ali Brigginshaw is a standout top player.
Yes.
And New Zealand went out of their way to tie her up in the final, got all over her, and they pulled off a brilliant upset victory, and congratulations to them. What a thrill for the players to get their medals off the human lunar park, Peter Beattie. Well, that will always be in their memories, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Sean Johnson, he's almost impossible to contain in the nine-a-side game. He's quite brilliant. What does greatness await Sean Johnson, Zorb?
I've always thought it would, but now I'm convinced that it won't. He's too inconsistent. I mean, he was just doing things that you only dream of in the Nines, but you don't see it week in, week out. You didn't see it at the Warriors, and you don't see it at the Sharks. He's hot and cold, and the great players don't have that downside as much as Sean Johnson does, unfortunately for him. I mean, he can do everything, but he just doesn't seem to want to at some times. I look, there was a lot of skill. The skill of Wade Graham really impressed me again. He's had a lot of time out through injuries this season, and he looks fresh, and he was fantastic. First two touches of the competition, he set up tries for Addo Carr. David Fifita, I thought, was absolutely outstanding. Mm. He was too big and hard to handle for every side, and the sky's the limit for him in our game.
Yes.
I thought Mitchell Moses was a very worthy man of the tournament, and I said before, I think the final competition game, that he needed to step up in finals and big games, and he's gone part way to doing that, and I'm convinced he's a lot better player than I originally gave him credit for. I'm a bit disappointed. I don't think we've seen the improvement in Kalyn Ponga that we expected. I thought the nines would be tailor-made for him, but I can't see any great improvement coming out of Kalyn Ponga. I'm a little bit worried about where he's headed in the game. Maybe I'm marking him a little bit hard, but I expected more from him in the open spaces of the nines.
Can I go back to your Sean Johnson point, and I will concur wholeheartedly and say Sean Johnson will never realise his full potential unless there is a dramatic change in his thinking. And I'll say this because we were lucky enough to interview him on radio in the lead-up to the grand final and with a rival radio station. And, Scotty Sattler and I both had the same thought. I think Sean Johnson could be an outstanding fullback. And I put it to him, and you know what he said, Zorb? He said, oh, yeah, no way. They train so hard, and it's such a hard way to go about it. And
I thought, telling.
My word, that's telling.
Yeah,
it's not the answer you expect or want, is it?
No way. That is a big job that John Morris has down there, convincing or changing the attitude of his million-dollar player to say, at $1 million, you're getting massively overpaid for what you bring to this club.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's important in a club to get the right mix. And Cronulla have too many players that are, I'll say it, headstrong, too much to say, and don't really play as a team. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've only won one competition. And particularly in recent times, I think they've been a major disappointment. What about Wayne Bennett? I thought it was interesting that he chose a lot of big men in his nine side, and it was quite apparent to me that he used the nines just as a training ground for the test coming up against New Zealand, Papua New Guinea. James Graham in the nine side, give me a break.
Yeah.
James Graham is struggling to play in a 13-man-a-side game these days. He's been a great player. His best days are behind him. To put him in the nines, I think, is showing him up for what he hasn't got anymore. Tom Burgess and Liam Watts, I thought, too, struggled in the nines, and I thought that England were definitely not on the same wavelength as the other teams. Bennett was thinking elsewhere.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Hey, Zor, one person who did have a super tournament, Mitchell Moses, was player of the tournament, backs up from probably his breakout season at Power. He was very consistent throughout most of this season. Can he take his game to another level in 2020?
Well, I think if he can, he'll be wearing an Australian jersey for a fair while. Look, 20 points in the final out of 24, a terrific effort. And as he said at the end of it, he just backed up Fifita, which was his job, and he did it pretty well. But, yeah, I think he can go to the next level, and he certainly made Bank West his own.
Where does he play for Australia?
Well, he won't. I think he and Terry Evans will be the half-5-8 combination now that Luke Keary's out.
Cam Munster no good?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think that there'll be a spot for Moses somewhere. There'll be a spot for Terry Evans.
Zorb, I want to ask you, because you've been heavily involved in clubs from commercial points of view, etc. What we saw this week with TFH up there on the Gold Coast and the backflip and going back and the overwhelming support that Ryan James and the Titans got, what was your take on all of that?
My take was that it was a terrible mistake by the company, and that Ryan James is a rugby league player first and foremost. In all my time in rugby league, I can tell you, and I'm sure you've experienced it too, Jimmy, and Ray, you too with jockeys and people involved in racing. A lot of them have a massive fear of public speaking. Put a microphone in front of some of the toughest men in rugby league and they will melt. I remember one of the toughest players I've ever been involved with and a great person, not what he appeared on the field sometimes, was Steve Maddie. Maddie would come and say to me, "Zorb, I'll do community service all year. Don't put me up for interviews. Don't put me up in front of the fans. Don't put me up in front of the sponsors. I just can't handle it. Mm. I freeze." And that's what Ryan James did in front of 80,000 people. It's not everybody's cup of tea to be a general speaker in the public eye. I thought he did a great job to start. He forgot his lines. It can happen. I remember it happened to me when on one of my first appearances on television. I did a little segment on Rex Mossop's show called was virtually the worst call of the week, and I started it off, and I just forgot my lines. I'm looking at the monitor, and I froze. And that can happen to anybody, and it happened to Ryan James. Thankfully, the public opinion has turned the company around, and they will be remaining with the Gold Coast Titans. But, gee, that was a terrible error they made.
Absolutely. And just quickly, a tip, New Zealand versus Australia on Friday night?
Oh, I think Australia will win. Just before I go, I'm pretty disgusted at the lack of loyalty in our game by the players. And if ever a player needed to replay his club for sticking with him, it should be Jack Whiten. 12 months ago, his career was on the scrap heap, but the Raiders stuck solid. He's played for New South Wales, Australia, Clive Churchill medal winner, played in a losing grand final side. And very quickly, he's turned his back on the Raiders' offer. I don't know what it was. I know he's got a family to look after, but I think they need to sit down and work out a deal. White and his manager are suggesting they'll now go to the market. I'm sorry, that's not a way to return a favour, and particularly to a coach that has stuck really solid. Whiten will probably end up staying with the Raiders, but his season of redemption just lost a little bit of its luster for mine.
Was it Jack or was it the manager?
Well, Jack should be strong enough to say, "I'm the boss in this situation. You do as I tell you." Mm. That's why I pay you your 9%, mate.
And that's what you said every time on this program, and I totally agree with you. Good on you, Zorb.
See you, boys.
We'll speak next week after that test match, Australia up against New Zealand. Clearly had a win. Well done. 1353-53, that's the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities, enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carboli. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, "There's a fast horse," and barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, "Look at that beautiful 3-year-old filly fly." And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
Mum, want a bonus Woolies e-gift card valued up to $300?
Yes.
Well, buy a selected Bosch, Fisher & Paykel, Westinghouse, Beko, Amiga, DeLonghi, Smeg or Electrolux cooking appliance or dishwasher or a Vintec wine cabinet.
That's all? Well, buy yourself a wine cabinet. Here's a shopping list.
Buy selected cooking appliances, dishwashers or wine cabinets at Bing Lee.
And receive a bonus Woolies e-gift card valued up to $300 from Bing Lee.
Australian family owned for over 60 years.
Conditions apply. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Rice misses his kick. Richarlison, Sigurdsson, Urge to shoot, responds, scores, Everton win.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And don't forget, we're giving away a $250 dinner voucher for General Chow's. Got to go in and sample the set.
Have you been in and sampled, Ray?
I haven't.
Right.
We better arrange to do that. But the best contribution to the show?
Yes.
That gets Jimmy and I thinking, which isn't hard to do.
Eastern philosophy versus Western culture.
What does
that
exactly mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds
anyway,
good.
I'm trying to just G it up a little bit more so we get...
Anything that's thought-provoking, we should say.
Yeah, extra entree or something when we go to General Chow's. That's what I'm doing, Ray. 1353-53, the Apple number.
Menu's outstanding.
Yeah, I know. I've looked at it only online. By the way, if you want to send an SMS, a lot of people are, 0419-767-272, and here's an interesting one from Stu. The Storm not only have Nelson from game one, but they have him nice and fresh after missing resting from the New Zealand duties in the NRL off-season. Totally, 100% right. And then what about Liverpool's You'll Never Walk Alone?
Yes.
Gary from Newcastle. And Zorba, you're kidding. On the Bali incident, there were multiple clubs using Bali as a trip. Yeah, I don't think Zorba's getting away from that. He's just saying it's a dangerous spot and you shouldn't go there.
Quieter places to go.
Yeah, absolutely. 1353-53. Let's go to callers. John is on the line. G'day, John.
G'day, Jimmy. How you going, Ray?
Morning, John.
Mate, just quickly, after you heard you talking about the Mojo ad.
Yes.
I'm going to show you my age. Mm. I was actually at the very first Day Nighter when Kerry Packer ordered the gates open because that many people trying to get in the SCG. And fellas, I've never seen a hill rain beer cans like it did that night. It was an incredible scene, Australia versus the West Indies. And my issue with my ex-wife, and they opened the gates to let him in, and I reckon not long after that she would have preferred that I got locked in there.
We've all been there, done that, John. You've done well.
Morning,
hey,
Tracy.
John, was that 77 or 78 by memory?
78.
Yeah, that's right.
Because 77, they weren't playing at the
SCG. That's right.
They were playing at the showground.
That's it, yeah.
It was 78. Fellas, just quickly, I know you're busy. Have we improved in the last 3 years under Michael Checker? I think we've stagnated, fellas.
Mm. I've got to put my hand up, John, and say I don't watch a whole heap of rugby, so it's hard for me to comment. But the results suggest that, I think someone sent me last night that Michael Checker's winning percentage is 44%. 44%, which is
says it all,
would be at a historical low from a Wallabies point of view. Just on that, John, and I've sold it on this program, and I'll say it again. There's a great documentary called The Chappell Era, and Mike Coward fronted it. He might have even written it.
Great cricket writer, Mike
great
Coward.
Great cricket writer from the 70s, from Ian de Greg, talking about that. And there was a public announcement outside the SCG for all the patrons who were going in there. And this you could actually hear it in this documentary, and it said... patrons are reminded that there is a 24-can per person limit.
24-can?
24-can per person.
Can you hear
taking it in.
Oh, jeez. That's unbelievable. Actually, when I got home last night, I was waiting for the Nines final to start, and I was flicked over to see the cricket, and it was a rain delay or something, and they had a replay of Viv Richards scoring that 208 at the MCG. I think it was about 81 or 82.
Wow.
He no helmet. No boundary ropes. He was clearing long on everything with just massive blows. What a player. What a batsman.
Morning, Brad.
Morning.
What do you got for us, bud?
But just on the Jack Whiten situation, he's got a new manager.
Yes.
So if he had have taken up the option for the extra year, his new manager wouldn't have got sent.
Very good point, Brad. Yes.
Pretty pertinent, I think, that... If he re-signs with the Raiders at the same deal, his new manager will get his 9%.
Yes.
And not his old manager. So yeah. I just think that's a sort of pertinent bit of information.
And actually, Brad, it's not 9%. Well, I certainly don't think it's 9%.
Well, I was just using the number.
Yeah, that's all we use. But that's a very good point. So for people to understand that, when they have an option, that's been negotiated by the previous manager. So any deal that's taken up at that point, then that manager is open to the right to take his percentage, his or her percentage from that contract. You have to sign a new contract for the new manager to benefit from it. So that's a very good point, Brad. Well made.
Thanks, Jim.
No
good
worries.
Good call.
I'm writing that down as a general chow. So that's thought
in the running?
In the running. And at present, it's a field of one. So, well
done
on that.
We had some good calls and contributions today.
We have, and they're in the running for the wingman bee.
Okay.
You see what I mean? That's why we've established this difference.
Stoke the fires in your mind enough, is that right?
No, Brad certainly did that.
Okay.
Let's see what Sharon does. Morning, Sharon.
Morning, how are you?
Very well.
That's good. How are you, Ray?
I know this for. That's my cousin. Sharon, how are you?
Good. How are you?
It's my cousin, Jim. Hey, Sharon, obviously I know you at the Everest. Yes, I got your ticket. So did you enjoy the day?
Oh, we had a fantastic day. Thanks, Ray. We had some wins and we had some losses.
Actually, you backed more winners than I did, from what I heard.
Not hard, Sharon, from what I understand.
He's a hard man, this bloke, Sharon, I tell you.
We did have a win on the Everest, so that was good.
Fantastic. And where are you from, Sharon?
We're from Marlborough in Queensland.
Wow.
Where Rod Laver came from, as Sharon can attest to.
Not Rockhampton.
To. No. And
no, north of Rockhampton.
Exactly, yeah.
There you go.
Thanks,
there
Sharon.
You go.
Jimmy never believed me when I told him that story years ago.
I do say, Sharon, that's a lie. That's a lie. He's not bad, is he, Sharon? He's all right, this bloke?
No, he's pretty good cousin, yes.
Nah, fantastic.
Yeah,
well,
we're on our way to the airport, Ray, so we'll catch up with you.
Okay, well, thanks for coming down. It was great to see you, albeit for only a couple of minutes. I'm sorry, Sharon, it was a busy day, but I'm glad you had a great day. So did everybody, and we'll catch up soon, eh?
Wonderful, Ray. Thank you.
Who's that?
That's my auntie, yeah.
And that's your dad's sister.
My dad's sister. You're my father's sister. So it was great to see you all, guys. Well, enjoy the trip home, and I'm glad you're back to a few winners.
Will do. Thanks, Ray.
Okay. See you guys.
There you go. Okay. Look, 1353 53. Is there any other members of Ray Thomas's family that would they like to ring up?
That's nice for the call in.
No, it is.
Nice.
It's fantastic. Anyone else that Ray? Any jockeys that didn't get a text message on the eve of the Everest?
City, on James.
If they could,
we got calls.
Send us a call as well.
That was nice.
That
I hardly saw them yesterday, so it was nice of them to ring in.
Huey Bowman, if you could let us know exactly what Ray said to you on the big day.
Interesting.
Nashra Willow, if you'd like to get involved. Tommy Berry. Anyway, 1353.
And hard man.
Is there a particular line? So 1353 53 is the open line number for most callers. Anyone from the Thomas family, please call us on.
You're a hard man.
No, I'm not.
Look at you. It was nice of him to ring in to say hello and goodbye, so to speak.
That's right. Yeah, very good. Yeah. How much time did you spend with them yesterday?
Literally about 3 or 4 minutes. It was sad. You know, anyway.
You're at work, Raymond.
I know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for ages. So.
Can I ask you, when are you not at work, Raymond?
Tanya and I had a long discussion about this again just the other day. So,
yeah.
Got to change things in life.
Morning, Tony.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Really well.
Listen, I just wanted to bring up about this 7:30 report on Thursday night, you know, with the abattoirs and the horses and all that.
Yep.
Mate, I've been in horses all my life. I've had harness horses all my life, as long as I can remember. It's not the problem with the slaughtering of the horses. That happens with sheep, cattle, pigs, whatever. So a lot of people that go on crook about what went on with the horses and these good horses that are racing and how they got slaughtered and things like that. It's the whole problem is how they were treated, right? Mm. What we've got to do is, people don't understand that there's no room, when the horses are finished racing, we can't just put them in the paddock and forget about them, because that's a terrible way too, because there's no feed in a lot of paddocks with the drought and everything.
Sure.
What the public has to realise is, like I said, there's a lot of horses and animals getting slaughtered. It's what the government has to do is regulate it so that the horses, the cattle, the sheep and everything are humanely put down, mate. They're not...
Tony, that you're
they
right.
They can't be treated the way that they're treated. They put them in these yards. They're not fed. They're not looked after. They're corralled up into these horrific conditions.
Yep.
What they've got to do is the government has to step in and say, right.
Yep. Tony, yeah, I think no, I said right. It, you're right, Tony.
Yeah, I think I said earlier at the show, Tony, there needs to be standards of practice put in at abattoirs, et cetera, because that footage, Jimmy, was horrific. It's disturbing. Surely that now governments have to act right around the country to ensure that there's standards of practice put in.
1353-53, the Opaline number. The Huckster is on the line. Hello, Huckster.
Hey, man, how are you?
Morning, Huckster.
Couple of quick ones, and Ray, first to you.
Yes.
The ride of the day yesterday was Huey Bowman on Deprive.
Yeah, did a good job, didn't he?
Last at the turn, missed the start, last at the turn, and stormed down the outside. If that wasn't the ride of the day.
Timed it magnificently, didn't he, Huxley? In a high-pressure race, too.
I got him at fixed odds at $10, so I was a little bit nervous when I went to the jockey's room, but, geez, that was a good ride. You know, that was the ride of the day.
Yeah, can't argue with you, mate. It was a great ride. And that horse is 6 from 6 at Randwick. Talk about track specialist, Huckster. It's amazing to prime.
You've got to stay with it. Stay with it. Jimmy, I'm going to have a quick dig at you.
Hey, go for it.
Well, you know, don't cut me off until I'm finished, because I know you're like doing that to people.
Make it quick, then.
He's pegged you, Jim.
Mate, quickly, a couple of two quick things. The World Cup nines, that's a joke. You know, it wasn't even fun to watch. You know, and you guys are there, spoke before years ago about the World Series of Baseball. There's only one country plays in it. The World Cup of Nines, it was an absolute joke. So, anyway, that's my opinion. And, Jimmy, you talk about the Melbourne player who's going to get suspended for blueing. You said you've got to walk away. What about your football days, mate? Every time there was a blue, you were the third man running in. he's looked after his mates, and that's exactly what you used to do.
The Huckster, there's a couple of things to that. Definitely wasn't third man in. I would have been going the other way, more to the point. And these are not the same days.
Yeah.
These are...
Times have changed.
These are enlightened times, rightly or wrongly. So, look, it's not a simple answer. It's not a simple answer to say, hey, Nelson, just walk away.
Mm.
But you need to be very careful about saying how heroic creating mayhem has been.
And I'm not... this is difficult, I know, because it's such a vexed question, but the players are continually goaded at certain places, aren't they, Jim? And you'd be aware of that. And
seen it firsthand.
They have amazing restraint at times.
I saw it firsthand. Josh Dugan, 4 years ago, sitting at Max Brenner, which is a chocolate shop there, and was goaded by about eight. He was sitting there with a girl. He was goaded by eight blokes just bagging him, having a go at him.
That's just
unfair, and to the point where I was with another three other blokes, and we went over and said, mate, congratulations on the way you've handled that.
Yeah, there you go. Good on you.
And so that's what he cops. And I'm not saying he's without fault, but I'm just saying that's the type of thing that they at some times face. And that happens in all sports, not just rugby league, all sports. 1353-53, the Opaline number. Now, just before we go to a break, we've mentioned by Shane from Bundaram on Twitter, Ray... Can we leave the family reunions for outside of work time, please?
Yeah, good point, Shane.
But time now to ring for the Event Cinemas quiz. Event Cinemas quiz. If you'd like to win yourself a double pass, the double passes are here as well too.
Prakash, you brought them in.
Yeah, Prakash and the team have supplied them during the course of the last 2 weeks. So we're here. We actually have the passes to give away. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the massacre that Ray and the team put up every week that we affectionately term the Event Cinemas quiz.
Tintin in America. Winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder.
Look at him fly! Tintin in America and David Butcher! He's way flying the passing lane in Tintin in America! Down to the line in 154-1!
Tintin in America. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
You've had a tough year. You were forced to try Bikram yoga. Your mother-in-law moved in. You got a back wax. So end the year on a high with Volkswagen's MY19 model clearance. Pick up the truly tough Amarok Core from just $39,990 drive away with our ABN Holders demonstrator clearance offer. Head into your local dealer today for offers you truly deserve. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit Volkswagen.com.au.
Whether it's foals, weanlings, yearlings, broodmares, racehorses or stallions, HQ Insurance has you covered. Visit HQinsurance.com.au or call 02 8913 1640. Be sure, insure with HQ.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
And here is the champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Cuts back the other way. Chased down by Jonathan Joseph. The last to the side.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Before we get to the all-important coin toss, James.
Yes.
Heather from Newcastle. Look, the one thing we don't want to do is cause any problems on the home front for people. And Heather is...
Oh, cause any more problems on the home front.
Oh, that's a very, very good point.
Well,
Heather's just chimed in from Newcastle and said, can you please read out my husband's text from early in the day, otherwise he'll be in a bad mood the rest of the weekend. So, Glenn from Newcastle, the Seagull, morning Ray, Tanya, and the other bloke, that must be you. Jimmy, obviously your sucking up tactics have paid off, because it has taken half an hour to again say, yes, 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 City Ford.
Says yes more often.
20-year-old Addy says, is that where you were last week, picking up your free latest Ford? And well done, Brenny, for filling in last week. That's Glenn from Newcastle, the Newcastle Seagull. Hopefully, Heather, that'll put Glenn in a good mood the rest of the day for
you. Oh, yeah. It's reading out his SMS. It's not a magic wand. Trying to put Glenn...
No, we don't
Glenn
want to cause trouble on the home front for Heather
and
Glenn.
It's only Glenn, the Newcastle Seagull. I like this one, though. This is from Jack from Olbar, and I think this is far more pertinent. And this is... That's the first mistake Ray's family has made all year. They normally ring in to play for Jimmy in the quiz. Jack, it's funny you mention that, because when Marlborough, which is up near Rockhampton, was mentioned, ever since we've been going to Queensland this program,
Jimmy,
in the quiz have deteriorated. Every time I get close, we get a Thomas on the line.
It's not the pressure. You're collapsing under the pressure, is it?
No, it's not.
Actually, that is very good from Jack from Olbar.
Jack from Olbar, that's very... I'll tell you what. You've made the short list. Top of the list.
Jack from Olbar.
The wingman.
Outstanding. The all-important coin toss, James.
Yes.
Because you're in a bad mood, you can call.
Oh, so you make that stuff up. Righto, go for it, Stevie. Here we go. Producer Steve.
Oh, it's fallen.
And it is heads. Did I call heads? I called heads. I say you go, not player one, right?
Now, that's a rule. You didn't even call. Doesn't matter. We'll do our best.
Mate, I've got to get some dirty tactics in, because at this point you're way ahead. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here, Roman. The highly anticipated blockbuster Terminator Dark Fate is now on sale with the return of the franchise creator, James Cameron. He's a genius.
Yep.
And its iconic star, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's pretty good too.
He's not bad. Mm. The Governator. This ultimate big screen spectacular features intense action and cutting edge special visual effects. March into Max with VMAX and head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now.
Good stuff, Arnie. Are we ready to go now with a quiz?
Yes. You're player one.
Okay, Sean should be on the line. Sean, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Terrific, Sean.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Sean, let's just clear this up. You're not from Marlborough, and we've never met, have we?
No, mate. Remember, happy wife, happy life.
Well done, Sean. That's all.
No, I'm not worried about Sean. I'm worried about Max, player two.
Okay. Hey, Sean, here we go. How are you feeling, mate? Confident?
Always.
Okay. Question number one. Which tournament will be held at Royal Birkdale Golf Club in 2020? Royal Birkdale Golf Club.
The Open?
I would have said the same thing. It was actually the Ryder Cup. Okay, here we go. I'll get back on track here, Sean. Question number two. Which one of these Major League Baseball teams have booked their place into this year's World Series? A, is it the Nationals? B, the Dodgers? C, the Yankees?
The Yankees.
Not yet. The good guys are struggling a bit, but... Okay, we need this one, Sean. Question number three. Who won last week's Bathurst 1000? A, was it Chaz Mostert? B, Scott McLaughlin? C, Shane Van Gisbergen?
Scotty McLaughlin.
Spot on. Well done, Sean. We're in the game. Stay on the line there, Sean. Over to you, James.
Hello, Max. You there, Max? You there, Maxie?
Yeah.
Is your surname Thomas?
No, it's Carthy.
There you go.
Okay.
And Max, we've never met, have we, Max?
No.
There you go, Jim.
All right.
Feel
okay.
More confident.
I'll go ahead. Not really. But anyway, righto, Maxie, here we go. Which sporting event will be held at Hard Rock Stadium, Miami, in February 2020?
Baseball.
Oh, no.
Super Bowl, mate. Max. The 54th edition. Question two. Where are you from, Max? Marlborough?
Sydney.
Okay.
No.
Oh, Shire.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah. Hang on.
Who won last year's NBL title? Was it the Kings, the Wildcats, or the 36ers?
The Wildcats.
It certainly was.
Yeah, here we go.
Certainly was. Big one. Big one here. Final question. Who is Wallaby star Matt Tamua's wife? Is it A, Elise Perry, B, Sally Pearson, or C, Jessica Fox?
Jessica Fox.
Oh, no. It's Elise Perry.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. Maxie, can't believe you missed that one. All right, so we're all square, aren't
square.
We?
Square.
Okay,
well, break.
Better do this quickly. How many NBA... Max, you're up. How many NBA games has Aussie Ben Simmons played for the Philadelphia 76ers? It's somewhere between 100 and 200.
136.
All right. Oh, I like what you did there. Let's go to you, Raymond.
Sean, you still there?
Yeah, mate.
Hey, Sean, we're in a tiebreaker. Here we go. How many NBA games has Aussie Ben Simmons played for the Philadelphia 76ers? And the answer, Sean, is between 100 and 200 games.
135.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no. Sean, you're...
Oh.
Oh, no. Max, you got... Well done, Max. Where are you from, mate? That's right, the Shire. Your next-door neighbour, James.
Good on you, Max. Look, stay on the line, mate, and we'll get those tickets to you. I'll walk them over this afternoon, all right?
Exactly.
So you'll be going to Event Cinemas Miranda.
The rort's in. The rort's in.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime, Maxie. All right. You're off the line. Thanks very much. Take him off, Hamish. He's there celebrating his wins. Speaking about celebrating his wins, well, I don't know what he was doing about halfway through the race. Let's find out, because Pat Webster, the trainer of Happy Clapper, is on the line. G'day, Pat.
Good morning.
How are you, Pat? Hey, Pat,
good,
did you...
thanks, Raymond.
Congratulations, firstly, on yesterday, but it wouldn't have been an easy watch for you, Pat.
Oh, no, it was terrible. I look, isn't it funny? You just, it turned out good, whatever. But what would I have said to Tommy if he hadn't won? I would have crucified him.
Yeah, I was thinking about in a week where cruelty to animals is featured, I wonder what cruelty to jockeys may have transpired.
Oh, well, it doesn't feature because you're allowed.
they're
used to it, but trainers usually do it behind their back.
hey, Patty, just on that, though, based on what we've seen now from Happy Clapper, does that start to make you think about, well, what is this horse capable of?
Well, yeah, because before with him racing, what happens is, look, I was just brought up with the way I've been brought up, that the horses should always have cover and whatever. Mm. And when you're in these big competitive races, usually the leaders go out and they get lost, you know. They get run over. And remembering, most of his runs were against the Mighty Mare. And I sort of, you wouldn't go out to be a pacemaker against her, you know. And you just have to sort of try. And we did try it once, and it goes to show you. He ran, I think she did beat him, but I think it was four lengths to the third horse. So... yeah, that, and probably now that he's got that bit older, that he's looking for 2,000.
Mm. And you told me last night, Pat, you don't think the Clapper's ever pulled up as well after a race.
Wow.
Well, I can't say I don't think, Ray, because he hasn't. You know, as you know, Clapper's had issues, and usually they have signs, you know, that, like, a horse doesn't have to bleed outwardly to show that, you know, that what's happened that's knocked them about, because the statistics show that
like 7 out of 10 horses bleed anyway, but they don't bleed outwardly, but they bleed, you know, they do your blood on their lungs. But Clapper, you know, just the way he come home and went into his feed and everything yesterday, it was just amazing how he pulled up. And, you know, people say about him being 10-year-old and still competitive, 9-year-old and competitive, but look at Blackheart Bart and Hartnell and Gallo Chop. But that, that all comes down to steroids. If they still had steroids, you know, he'd be retired at 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, am I right in saying, and Ray mentioned it earlier, next up for the Clapper will be the Gong?
Probably, you know, a lot depends on the handicapper. I hope he's listening this morning, but Peter Volandis and Racing New South Wales in their wisdom have put this on. No doubt it's a great thing. Imagine that. I noticed yesterday just at Newcastle, the crowd, it was at Newcastle. Well, that wasn't for the Newcastle meeting. That was actually for the Everest, you know, and people didn't travel down, so they get it in the head and they go to the races and create their own atmosphere. But for the Gong and the other race at Newcastle, imagine what that's going to do for racing too. But if the handicapper sort of, you know, gives us a reasonable go, we'll definitely go down. And because he won't be going to Melbourne anymore.
No, if he passed that. Well, Pat, just
been there, done that.
Yeah, just finally, Pat, on the day yesterday, you seen some great racing, obviously, at Randwick over your 50-odd years. And
yes,
the Everest, why does it cut through the racing bubble, so to speak, and it just seems, the concept just seems to work, doesn't it?
Well, you know, a lot of people are critical because it's only 1,200, but who cares? You know, you got the Salinger or the Newmarket 1,200, you got Oakley Place 1,200, we got our sprints, but that's, you know, we've tapped into that 1,200 meter mark, and our sprinters are the best in the world. So why not see the best in the world? Plus, the crowd get there; they don't care whether it's 1,400 or 1,600.
No.
They're there; they have a bet, and it's a real spectacle. And the guys like the way yourself, Ray, and Racing New South Wales, it's all got for a promotion. Like my grandson's 20, and he went with 4 of his mates, just or 5 of his mates. But you know, and that's just—I don't even know whether they've seen a race, but it's just the atmosphere. He did. He said he'd done his money, and Clapper got him out, so he did have a bet. So I think that's what it's all about. So forget the distance. I think Tony McAvoy's right. He said the Melbourne Cup, it's a Melbourne Cup, but it hasn't got that Australian flavour because we get all these overseas horses. But I'll tell you what, I don't think too many of them are bringing the sprinters here because we just give them, they're just feed humps for our horses.
Yeah, they copped the bar, 10 sovereigns yesterday. Absolutely.
Yeah, they get hammered.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, congratulations. I think,
win yesterday.
One of the
very
most popular horses on the track today.
Still pinching myself this morning. I'm sitting here basking in the sunshine at the farm with my darling. And just pinching myself. I can't believe what he's done and how he's done it. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing. I'm so privileged.
Enjoy it.
Fantastic. Good on you, Pat. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Webster, their trainer of Happy Clapper. As you mentioned, Roman, a very popular win yesterday. Wingman Beer have got your back. Maybe Nelson Asifa Solomona could be a ambassador for Wingman. No, Ray? All right, move on. They're so excited by the new Wingman mid-strength 3.5 Crisp Clean Never Bitter Lager. They're putting out a challenge. Next time you pick up a regular beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5, test it back-to-back with your beer, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back, and Wingman will refund your money. Go to wingmanbeer.com.au to see where they've landed. And you can find them, if you can't find them at your local, give them a call on 1300-45-BEER. But this is the big news. Go now to danmurphys.com.au because Wingman 3.5 is now available online. This is huge. A breakthrough.
Massive news is.
Take the Wingman Challenge today. Enjoy responsibly. Coming up, we've got Jared Daffy on the line. I think he's right there. Is he? Morning, Jared.
Morning, boys.
Hey, Jared, how are you?
Have you ever had Wingman, Jared?
No, but I'm going to.
We'll change that for you.
Yeah, no, I'm going to. It sounds delicious.
Very nice drop, Jared.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
I was listening earlier. I think you can probably use one of the services that I provide. I do a pronunciation tour.
With?
Shane from somewhere, 10 or 15 minutes ago.
Butterham?
Give yourself another cup.
Where, what is it?
It's Butterham.
Butterham, is it? Butterham.
What did you say, Jim?
Boodurum.
Well, so what I do is people who struggle with this type of thing,
yes.
Not that I'm hanging it on you,
no.
They fly in and I drive them around all of these places. It can quite often be a little bit hard to pronounce. So we will start at Butterham and maybe even drop in and have a wingman with Shane.
So, mate, I'll tell you what, that's got some appeal, Jared. Don't worry. That sounds good. What about the Rugby World Cup? No appeal for the Wallabies, but we've got a couple of quarterfinals coming up. Wales v France, and they can't do it again, can they? Japan v South Africa?
You wouldn't think so. Wales v France is quite competitive betting-wise. Wales $1.37, France at $3.10. A line there is 16.5 points. And we are seeing the heavy artillery come for South Africa now. They're $1.13 to beat Japan at $6. Ooh. The line 15.5. We've got the first of the semi-finals up, and All Blacks, well, they're at a backable quote, $1.40. And we've got England at $3 and a line there, 6.5 points. And the updated market to win the World Cup, New Zealand into $1.80, South Africa $4.25, England into $5.25, Wales $13, 51 France, and 67 for Japan.
Hey, Jared, was there much betting interest in the nines?
I haven't seen the numbers yet. I know I was talking to one of the guys yesterday, and the matches throughout the afternoon were on the slow side for obvious reasons. I think everybody was glued to Sky Channel or Channel 7 for the coverage of those races, and I can't blame them for that. But after the races finished...